I just gave him the finger. That is what just happened. Oh, good. It's recording. Thank you. That's a good intro. Excellent. Dag nabbit.
Don't expose the divisions within the
Yeah,
Bruins and Bruins
we
team.
don't want
Fans,
the
I know.
public to see that. We want to be a unified front,
That's
especially at
for
the time of
Boxer.
mourning. Let's be real. All right, wait, let's not be real. Let's gloss it over.
Welcome to a it's a little giggly, but
Oh,
trust us,
what's
it's a somber handsome hour. Discussing the life and legacy of Joe Tiller. And but we're doing it over alcohol, and I think that's appropriate because a couple weeks ago we were doing that in celebration. Because and what were we doing for the majority of that? We were comparing things to 1997. Right?
Yep.
Which
Keeps
is what
coming back
everyone
over and
does.
over.
When it comes
Keeps
to
coming back.
Bruins.
It's kind of natural. So,
Yeah.
Michael, before we dig too deep in, and I like doing this just because, and we make fun of our oldness pretty often, right? We talk about, you guys make fun of us, we make fun of it as well. But in let's do this. Let's start from square one, okay? I'm going to tell you guys when Joe
Yeah.
Tiller was hired, okay, and Jay and I were in a similar situation. I lived in Tarkington Hall. I was an RA, and I was coming off of the awful Jim Coletto final season. Jay and I actually enjoyed that together. It was the first time, is that right? No, second time I shaved my head. And I shaved my head and I wrote fire in black, face paint on my head. And my buddy Tim, who is one of the original founders of Boiled Sports, who is not pictured tonight.
No.
He wrote Coletto on his head. And
That's commitment.
yes, and Jay was there with us. This is,
I
yeah,
remember that.
okay. And that was for the Michigan game, which they won, which is funny. Coletto resigned after the game, after the win. Okay. So, in the wake of that, I can say that I was pretty down in the dumps about the football program. I kind of figured, well, this is what we are. Purdue is what we are. Bob Davie had already rejected us.
I remember that. Absolutely.
Pretty lousy place, right? I'm a first semester senior. Jay is a first semester junior at that point. Things are in the can, We are what we are. And then Joe Tiller enters from Wyoming, kind of quietly, I would say. And I don't think anybody thought much of it. What were you doing at that point, Hank?
So I was 13.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you for that.
Awesome.
That's really good. Makes me feel good
A
about
pretty
myself.
intense football fan, right?
Yep.
But in my house, we would watch Purdue because we had to, and it is our destiny to suffer, and Notre Dame to watch a competent football team
That's
play.
horrible. That's horrible.
Well, I mean, they were on NBC, and we would
I get
watch
it.
them.
I get it. It's easy access.
Easy access, and you wanted like some joy, even if it wasn't joy that you could partake in personally.
Kind of a fake joy, right?
Fake joy. At least you could see that it was possible for other fan bases to experience joy.
Someplace there were good things happening, is what you're
Not
saying.
even that far away. Not even
No,
that far away.
not
It
really.
might as
And
well
yet,
have been on the other side of the
exactly.
sun.
And yet,
And yet, a universe away at the same
the
time. It's
universe
a,
way. No, but I mean, those Purdue teams were just bad. I mean,
Oh.
they were awful to watch. It was like Hazel
It
bad.
was. The games were drudgery, right?
They
I
were
mean, even though
drudgery.
they were not as bad as the Hazel teams because they were kind of plodding, right? Plodding to their own demise, just steadily. Ugh.
Like scoring 12, 13 points a game.
Exactly. Somehow scoring
Well,
11 to
no,
13 points every game.
I will remind you guys of the fact that it was not like the Hazel era in that sense with the 12 or 13 point game. Because remember when Mike Allstott was there, which was, probably among my all-time favorite Boilermakers,
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
played MAC teams. They would beat the crap out of them. And when they played IU, they'd
Because
actually whip on
they
them.
were
Not
big.
every year, but yeah, they were big, right? So they would put up points against bad teams. But the difference was those Coletto teams. There was no chance they were beating Notre Dame. There was
Oh,
no chance they were beating Michigan.
you didn't even think
None.
they were going to, like going into the game.
It just you knew, right? It was foregone, those things. And the biggest thing that Tiller did was he made us all believe
and made the team believe, it didn't really matter what we believed, but he made everyone around believe that they could beat anybody. And I was reminded of this watching one of the clips from the night they clinched the Rose Bowl and some of the locker room stuff. He had up on the, in between each locker, it said expect to win.
Yeah.
He had that up in between each locker. And it was funny, as I wrote that in my post, I said he taught us to expect to compete, to expect to win. Yeah. And I didn't do that remembering that. I saw that later. But what that tells me, it's not like I'm some sort of brilliant, you know, I didn't pull that. I pulled that because he ingrained that in us. That was his thing, expect to win.
Mm-hmm. Well, he got the program to a point where you could expect a bowl, right? Like that was the baseline, is that you were going to get 7 wins. And then maybe like something like in 2004 or, you know, a couple, 2001, I think was the other, like he had a couple teams that you knew were like really special.
Special, right.
Well, and that was not something that Purdue had ever.
Never. Ever. I mean, maybe in the 60s. But,
yeah, but the one Rose Bowl team with Bob Greasy.
Went to Peach Bowl in 84. They went to a Blue Bonnet Bowl in 81, 80, right?
80 there. Or 81.
But we're talking years between.
We need Dave K in here to talk about that.
Yeah, no, and that was it. They hadn't gone in recent history. Right. They hadn't gone to any bowl games. Right. And overnight, he changed their. And I still, you know, you look back and there was nowhere near the level of coverage in the mid 90s as there is today, right? So, like, we didn't, you know, go into that. And then you look at Bowling Green, right? Wasn't it a Bowling Green? It was a road game. I know that.
It was Toledo.
Before they came home.
First game.
Toledo. Yeah.
Toledo. Okay. Well, whatever it was, they lost to a team they should have ended up on the road. And it was like, oh, more of the
well,
same.
Well, the irony, I think, is Tiller graduated from Toledo and he had nothing to do with that schedule. Nothing to do with that schedule. And they went into that game, and I mean the players' account of it is awesome because they said they expected to be just ripped open after losing that game at Toledo. And he came in the locker room and said, "All right, guys, we've got some work to do. We're gonna win next week in Notre Dame."
And what did they do? They went out and they beat Notre Dame.
Well, that game I was at that game.
Notre Dame. So awesome.
Yep. Yeah. And Jay, you were already off campus, correct? Or were you at?
No. 97? No, I was not gone yet. 97. Okay. Fall 97 was my semester out of Purdue. I don't know if you recall that.
You were transitioning.
I was enrolled at the County College of Morris in Randolph, New Jersey.
Right.
For that semester. Then I came back in the spring.
The Fighting Morris.
So I can tell you my situation there. So we keep, this is fun. That's a fun timeline. At this point, Michael is almost 14.
Not yet a man. Still a boy.
Yeah, exactly. Not a boy. I don't know that song. but I can tell you what was happening with me is I was interviewing for jobs because I was trying to become a man. And so I had interviewed a couple places and, I came to that Notre Dame game with a buddy of mine and I had to get back to Indianapolis at a certain time for an event. So Purdue was up, in the third quarter and they're up in the fourth quarter. I'm like, holy crap, they're going to beat Notre Dame and I'm going to have to leave. Sure enough, I did not see the clock hit 000. I was in the stadium the entire, our pal Anish has joined the call. I don't even want to talk about where Anish was in the fall of 97. Because that'll make me even more sad. But so I didn't see the end of the game. I listened to it. I can remember I was pulling into the parking lot of this place, this event. It was a retreat, a Christian retreat. And I was literally banging on the roof of my car and yelling, and it was supposed to be a quiet place. And I was like, yeah! Because I could not believe that Purdue beat Notre Dame in the wake of losing to Toledo. I got to tell you, so I wrote Tiller a letter, and I just told my son, LBD, this story. I wrote Tiller a letter that week just saying thank you because
– one of my favorite stories. I remember this.
So I wrote him a letter. I typed it out, sent it to him. Like a real letter, not an email. And
you got yourself a pigeon.
What'd you say? I got a pigeon. Exactly. A really well-trained pigeon who knew the way to Lafayette, which is awesome. Because Gina, my wife was still, she was still on campus. So the pigeon knew the way because I'd written other letters and little pigeon. What happened to that boy? So I sent the piece of paper. That's what we used to do, Anish. We transcribe notes on paper, on parchment.
Fucking punch.
What is this?
Hey, thing? My day.
Dip your quill in a
yes, quill. In a feather. Dip your quill in the company ink.
Like scratch a rock.
It's been a fortnight since I last felt your graceful touch.
My dearest Gina.
My dearest
The coldest Gina. Winters of West Lafayette can't freeze my heart in its love for you.
Say, shut up. Shut up.
So anyway, so I sent the letter, a real letter, to Joe Tiller. And no joke, within that week, Joe Tiller had written me back a note. And I have it in my basement framed. He sent me back a note on Purdue football card. It's in my basement. Jay has seen
it. We regret to inform you, we're not going to be offering you a scholarship.
Exactly. Sorry. Your eligibility has expired. And it just said, Ryan, thanks for the note. Thanks for being there all these years. Real simple. Keep the faith, Joe Tiller.
I would frame that too. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And I can tell you that when I received it, I thought it was no more than one game. I'm not kidding. I was just like, thank God we beat Notre Dame. That was it. That was enough for me, right? But they won a little more. They won a few more games under Tiller. Thank God. So I can tell you guys – Jay and I have talked about this on and off all day. I don't know if Anish can hear me right now because he pulled his headphones off.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I was battling tears all freaking day.
Well,
as so if you, I had lost my brother, not my video. Uncle. I said my uncle in that video. I choked up three or four times, and I was like, "There's no, I don't really need that to be on tape. There's no."
It's really weird how that works, right? Because we're all rational adults. We don't cry when Purdue loses a tournament game, right?
What?
But when, we're not supposed, we are emotionally invested in the outcome of Purdue sports, right? But you never expect to feel like you feel stupid. It's like a child. It's really childish when like a guy that you've never met. It dies, and of all, by all accounts, it was natural causes, right? It's not, it wasn't tragic in other than, his family obviously lost a very near and dear loved one. And it feels stupid to feel like, to feel this emotional, void, because it's you put it really well. Down in the video, it was like Purdue feels like a family, like a lot more than I think a good amount of programs. And Tiller was the one, and I'm sure you guys hit this earlier, but Tiller was the one that made Purdue matter.
Yeah.
Right. Made the school that we chose for some reason or another, everybody for different reasons. Tiller kind of made it matter. And there were times of football relevance before that, but he was he was the guy. So it may feel stupid to feel emotional, but I don't know. You weren't alone. And if anybody watched that video, there may have been emotions while that happened. I was in a car with five or four IU fans in it. And even all of them. So I just came literally just walked in the door, on the way back. And, even all of them, they all knew, they're kind of sports fans. One of them is a diehard. The other three are just kind of, and all of them knew who Joe Tiller was. So, all of them respected the hell out of Joe Tiller. They were all sad. They're all the one diehard was we were talking about it, the entire ride back. Mm-hmm. But IU fans really respected Joe Tiller. It was the kind of coach that even the enemy, quote, the sports enemy, right. Didn't dislike.
Well, and I think that that goes back to his nickname, right? the genuine Joe
yeah.
thing, right? Like you didn't get a sense that this was a guy that was playing a role, which is common with college coaches, right? Like there's a lot of disingenuous behavior. And you know, this was just a guy, you know, that's Midwestern roots.
I don't believe that.
Who lived out in, you know, Montana and Wyoming and just kind of like did his own thing. And you knew that he just didn't really care like what you thought of him, but that didn't make him a jerk. That just made him really genuine. Yeah. Yeah. And it was the type of guy that you could respect. Like even if he coached for your rival.
So here's a little peek behind the curtain for people that don't know Tiller, didn't know the many players. So the story he told was that he needed to get out to Wyoming to fish, right? Everybody heard that story over and over and over. The players and the people that went out to visit him tell a different story. They said he didn't fish. He didn't fish. Late in his life, he just didn't do it. But what he did, really interesting, his big hobby was planting trees. So he had a large ranch filled with different types of trees that he cared for as if they were delicate flowers. Like he would go out and water the trees according to their, whatever their needs were, their, you know, their individual watering cycle. And many people said this. It wasn't just like one. I heard this over and over and over that he just loved trees, which is really interesting. And there's a song that I love called Planting Trees that talks about the long-term ramifications. Thank you, Jay. Planting trees and the legacy that this man left. I think that's one of the things you can't argue with, right? When you talk to people about Joe Tiller's legacy at Purdue University, it's damn near impeccable. So
that's – I love that story and to relate it to the young folks. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a quote from the musical Hamilton, which I listen to the soundtrack all the time. Yep. It's amazing. Yep. But there's a line at the end where Alexander Hamilton is contemplating, he's dying. He's contemplating his legacy.
For a lot of the millennials out there, they don't know who.
Our first Treasury Secretary.
Al Ham.
Thank you.
It's like A-Rod.
The kids call him Al Ham.
But he says, he's like pondering like what is a legacy. And he says, a legacy is planting seeds in a garden that you never get to see. And that's what I liked about your story is this idea that Joe Tiller left more than just a Rose Bowl appearance and a couple of wins and Drew Brees and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But he left a legacy that will extend through all of Purdue football. He's the measuring stick for Purdue football here and into the future. When we talk about Brom, we talk about can Brom do what Tiller did. After Brom, there'll be another guy, and we'll still be talking about Joe Tiller. And, you know, he's the guy that deserves the statue. He deserves the plaque. He deserves for Purdue football to run out onto Joe Tiller Field.
And,
I hope they do something very big for
it's
him.
It's going to be great for him.
Because he has earned it as much as anybody.
So that actually kind of pisses me off. Now that we're on that topic, why the hell haven't we done that before?
Well, they have
why
Joe didn't Tiller, we do that when he was alive? They have the Joe Tiller, Road or Way or whatever they're called.
Okay. So,
not enough.
No, I mean, I agree. I agree, but I think that they have done something to – and let's not forget, I don't think he and Burke were best pals.
No.
Right?
No.
So I do. Dude, it's got to have something to do with it. Burke was a stubborn guy, and so was Tiller.
Well, here I can tell you, there to me, there's a way to make everybody happy, to honor Joe Tiller. So here, let's take a half step back and assume that no one has checked out our Twitter feed or read up about what's happening. Because I can tell you the text messages I've received from my friends have told me that no one has ever read anything that we've read or we've written, pardon me. Or watched anything that I've taped.
He had one exchange tonight with a former.
And he's a great guy. But he acted as if.
And he had no idea that he.
No
he,
idea.
He almost, my favorite line was he was asking about the Boiler Down Quickcast, and he said, is this a series? Can I see?
I'm not. That really happened.
So great.
It's fine.
Okay. It's fine. It is fine. You're right. Let's keep our perspective. But the big thing, what I would like to see, okay, I would love, and I don't have any say, obviously, and I talked about this years ago, that I would like to see the field called Mollenkopf Tiller Field at Rossi Stadium.
That's a because
because I think those two guys are kind of yoked together by many things, right? They are within a few wins of each other. I say there's an asterisk by Tiller's wins because the longer seasons and a couple other things. Ooh. Mollenkopf accomplished. I'm sorry. I know it's too soon, but I you guys know I'm fond of Tiller. I mean,
well, Mollenkopf played think, what 10 game seasons or something like that.
It was 8 to 10. It was a different era. It was a different era. Right. So it's like Curtis Painter taking Drew Brees records. You're like, come on.
Except those were like 10 years apart, not 30. But
well, okay. So my thing is that this is kind of my pet peeve for all of these like remembrance pieces that happen whenever anybody of any kind of significance dies, is that they were never. You could have said all this when Prince was alive. You know, you could have said all this when David Bowie was alive, but you waited until he died.
Tupac.
Before you honored him. Well, Tupac's still alive. We all know that.
Yeah, he's in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him. That's why I say that. It's weird. He's working at Howard Johnson, which is bizarre.
To me, it's just like you, no matter what happens, it's like during Purdue's like future in football, like Joe Tiller's always going to be the guy, you know, modern era, Joe Tiller was always going to be the guy. So why didn't they unveil a statue of him beforehand? Why didn't they?
Because Morgan Burke was there.
Yeah, it took them a while for him to, for that to be okay, because the end of the Tiller era was not pretty.
No, it wasn't. We all know it wasn't pretty, right?
And he was just as stubborn as Burke, right? So you got two stubborn people.
Which is awesome.
Which is great, you know, when you're, you know, because you're Team Tiller here.
Yeah.
But it took a while, and it was really only in the last couple of years, maybe even after the Danny Hope era, that you started to see Tiller a little bit more around the program. Mm-hmm.
Well, so even during the Hope, well, so that's the thing, is that I don't know if Hope was ever Tiller's guy. Tiller always wanted Spack to be a successor, Hope right?
And that's document. Guy, that's not opinion, right?
But yeah. He wasn't.
I mean, like Hope, exactly. Hope was clearly the number two that
Tiller liked. Hope, right?
Tiller loved Hope. I mean, he like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Tiller.
There's
loved
a great picture, by the way, of the two of them on Purdue sidelines, full mustache.
So good. Yes, starter jacket picture. Is that the starter jacket one with the head thin?
The starter jacket. On. Yep. Yes, oh, it's exactly.
So good.
It.
So good. Hope looks and Hope fat, looks fat. No, yeah. I think he looks like a big face. You don't think so? He's like kind of.
Well, I thought like he looked like trimmer than he did when he was a
dude. That guy was so terrifying.
He was. Yoked.
I was in the press room with him.
He was yoking.
In the second row, and I was like, I don't want any part of this dude. So bad dude.
Did it make you rethink the Danny Hope Twitter?
The hopeful daddy.
No, that was a wonderful time.
That was the best.
I would never rethink that.
Go ahead, Jay.
Oh, I was just going to say you wanted us to come with. We talked offline about coming with memories of Tiller, and I don't know that we talked about this one yet. We've talked about it on the site a million times, but there was nothing like for me. Okay, of not just beating Notre Dame, not just beating Notre Dame at Notre Dame, but beating Notre Dame at Notre Dame. And pasting them. Oh my gosh. 2004.
That was not a fluke win. That was a win.
Right. Right. When you just dismantle a team that was, and it wasn't like a Weiss terrible team, 07 or whatever it was when they were.
I mean, it was Bob Davey. Like,
they weren't terrible.
No.
And it doesn't matter. Even if they were, Purdue never wins at Notre Dame. And it wasn't like they left any doubt. Kyle Orton and Joe Tiller together went in there. And
my brother was at that game. My brother was in Notre Dame Stadium at that effing game.
Those were the two.
That's a great game.
The two programs actually
celebrating.
Yeah,
at the 40. At the 40, he was celebrating and doing the choo-choo, which would have been called back today. But
oh yeah, I love it.
But oh gosh, that was. I know he took him to a Rose Bowl. I know he got them to fifth in the country. That might be my absolute favorite Joe Tiller memory because the picture I put it in my post today. Right. Well, but they never could win there. It was mystical. It was like Navy beating them. They couldn't. Purdue couldn't win at Notre Dame ever.
You have to go back to the 60s.
And in our life, literally, you and I have not been alive for a win other than that one at Notre Dame. Yeah. The last one before that was 74.
Yep.
And so there was that, and it was. I do believe that was a. you know, Tiller and Orton, it was like, you know, Breeze couldn't even do this.
Mm-hmm. Not so much. The Tiller moment for me was the one I tweeted out. So I was there at the end. So like I was on campus. So yeah,
me too. I wasn't on campus, but I was there.
The 97 season, so my family's a Purdue family. But we were mostly into basketball. Like my mom loves basketball. Like we were a basketball mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really like the Colts even. Like the Jim Harbaugh era was last 2 years of Jim Harbaugh. It was really the first time I got into football. But the first time I loved football was Drew and Tiller. But the
you would have been pretty young for Harbaugh leading him to the playoffs.
That's like one of my first memories.
I was in CYO basketball when that happened. That was awesome.
That's why I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers so much. Like that's why the Steelers are still probably top three most
hated. And you've probably met a Steelers fan.
Well, one or two here in Pittsburgh, yes.
Maybe one, exactly.
The beginning of the Tiller era was when I like really fell in love with football, and I was on campus for the end of Tiller's last game. And that last season was kind of a letdown, right? Like we were all hoping. They weren't very good. They weren't
four games.
The problem is they were more talented than their wins, but
point, Anish, what I always think about is I was thinking about this today. They went 4-8 that year, I believe. Tiller still had the talent to beat Indiana 62-10. Huh.
So that was
could have been worse.
And looking back on
they were up 60-10 with 9 minutes left.
Oh, for sure they could have put 70 up. They decided not to.
But looking back on it, I don't know if I would have wanted a bowl game to be Tiller's last game, a game away from Ross-Ade, a game that wasn't a historic pasting of IU in front of a sold out Ross-Ade at night. Like it was, we would have loved a bowl game, and I was on campus. I would have loved to go to Detroit.
Roll 62 up. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was the perfect ending for Tiller.
Agreed.
Like that was my.
And I was at the.
Go ahead, Jay.
I was just gonna say I was at the 04 game. Mm-hmm. I believe it was 04 when Orton's final game when they put up 64, I believe it was on IU, and I believe
Zanardo fired.
And what I love about that is that. Number of memorable, like Tiller put up over 60 on IU more than once. It's so amazing. And one of the things I tweeted today, there were a million things that I love.
700 yards of offense.
That's 762. I have a picture of
it. It's ridiculous.
62. And I don't think they got any more because they were, you know, at that point, you're like, well, this is humbling enough. But today, one of the things. Because I love, not to take away, because you guys are about to all make other points, but I'll just say this while my internet's still working.
Power threat.
Tiller went 15-9 against IU.
That's awesome. That's great.
I love that. I love saying. I love the fact that he was not even close to 500 combined against us two. He destroyed Indiana 10-2, mm-hmm. and he was 5-7 against Notre Dame, and he was only 5-7 because towards the end he was fading. Right. I mean, his first 10 years he was something like 5-5.
He was awesome,
Crispy Brown, national writer at Smart Football, Purdue alum.
Oh, Chris Brown's good, yeah.
He's I think he's like the best, the smartest like football writer out there. And his memory was that the single worst day for Nick Saban defense I'd ever seen was when Tiller and Breeze dropped 55 points and almost 600 passing yards on Michigan State.
And that's the game Jay referenced earlier today where I actually came down back in town. I think Jay was a student there. My fiance was a student. I was coming back just to see a Purdue play, and it was like a gift for me. I talked about that game. It was incredible how badly Purdue beat that team, and Michigan State was not a slouch. They had a future NFL quarterback. They had Plaxico Burress as a wide receiver. Michael Hawthorne, who I had African studies with at Purdue, just absolutely pistol-whipped Plaxico Burress. Just controlled him. Michigan State was what, fifth, sixth in America?
They were top 10, yeah.
I mean, and Purdue never let them think they had a foothold or a chance in hell that they were going to win, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was such a fun game. And Tiller had something special for Saban every time he dialed up. I mean, there's a reason. You could say Saban ended up in the SEC at LSU because money, but I would say because his kryptonite was in the Big Ten. Joe Tiller was, you know, made Saban his bitch. Well, and you can go back and look back at the games, see if I'm wrong. There's only one game that I'm wrong about, and I can remember it because Purdue had already clinched the Big Ten title, and Michigan State beat the hell out of Purdue, actually. And all Purdue had to beat was IU to get into the Rose Bowl.
I think that's how you want it.
Yeah, but, that's a perfect back then. Cam Cameron's IU team.
Yeah, right. I mean, and so to that point, Zach Osterman was telling me that that Joe Tiller was the Big Ten Steve Spurrier. And the one thing that faded was that you can't recruit at Purdue like you can at Florida to keep that long sustained success. Right. But to come in and program build the way Tiller did, put aside the Florida comparison here, at a school that really, like, on paper, really shouldn't have that much of a football tradition. Yeah, exactly. It's in Indiana, not really the most fertile recruiting ground. It's not really near a big city. There aren't big donors. It's not a flashy place. It's not Tennessee with these big donors and flashy facilities. It's in the Big Ten. It's not one of the marquee programs, the Big Ten. Right. But he came in and executed a program build without resources, really. I think very few people, very few coaches in the country, in the history of college football, can say that they did. I mean, like, the feat that Joe Tiller did between 97 and 2005 was...
Let's draw that back. 97 to 98.
I mean, that's right? Just
it's instant. Incredible, right? And let's compare it to things we know. Let's look right now. Everybody's saying Jeff Brohm might be coach of the year already at 2-2.
Yeah, I mean...
Tiller was 9-3 in his first year.
And after a similar, I mean, you lived through the Coletto years much more vividly than I did. Yeah. And like it's very similar. And like that's the thing is like Tiller beat Notre Dame in his second game. He didn't do it against Toledo, but he beat Notre Dame the second game. We celebrated because we played because Purdue played Louisville. A fading Louisville close for 3.5 quarters, right? We played Michigan hard for a half. We're celebrating those things, as rightfully we should. But like 97 was like something different, man. Like 97 is kind of, I don't know, it's one of those rare college football seasons in total.
Let me tell a small story, because this is a story I wanted to tell both of you guys, and I think I've told – Jay this story, so I apologize, but I want to tell these stories a lot, especially right now. So I moved out to Massachusetts after watching Purdue. So they beat Notre Dame, they beat somebody else, and then I moved out for my first job after graduation. I think they beat Minnesota or somebody, and then they played Michigan State. And they were down for a big chunk of that game versus Michigan State, and they kind of fought back. And I think they won that game in overtime in a very improbable fashion. Here's what I remember. I had a Portuguese landlord at that time, okay? I lived in Taunton, Massachusetts, and my landlord spoke no English. All he spoke was he understood enough that he and his wife and I could exchange $100 a week cash, okay? It sounds like I was, you know, renting an apartment in 1895, but it was actually fall of 1997. But I lived on the third floor in an old house in Taunton, Massachusetts. And when Purdue started to mount that comeback versus Michigan State, I started going crazy. I started yelling. I was watching the game by myself. I had no Jay or Anish or no one. My fiance was back in Indiana finishing her degree, and I was going nuts. I was just going crazy. I could not believe that Purdue might win this game. And my landlord stormed up the steps. I could hear him coming up. And he knocked on the door and he says, okay. And I said, "Oh, very good." And I pointed at the tube television, the Sanyo that I was watching, the 19-inch.
The RCA.
Yes, the Sanyo. Exactly.
Shout out to Sanyo,
man. And I pointed at it, and I said, Sanyo. Very good, very good, big comeback. I didn't know what else to say. Purdue stormed back, beat Michigan State, right? And that season was just kind of a snowball, right? We just saw Purdue do things that we didn't think they could do, and Purdue never believed they were out of a game because of the psychological edge that Joe Tiller placed in those guys, right? The belief that they're like, we're going to win every game. We can win every game. And they showed it, right? They beat a lot of good teams along the way, but they beat Oklahoma State with a future. Was it Pac-Man Jones on that team? Am I right about that? I think he was.
Yeah.
I think Pac-Man Jones was on that Oklahoma State team. I might be wrong, but I think I'm right. But every team Purdue would beat, there'd be some story, some subplot about, you know, there was a some guy who was the sizzle, right, that ESPN just wanted to make sweet love to. And Joe Tiller would just shut them down. And it would be, at some point, it would be Vinny Sutherland just talking crazy crap to a defensive back or to somebody on a punt return where he was just John, right? And then you'd have Billy Dickin come in, and you're like, Billy Dickin couldn't throw a 5-yard pass a year ago or 2 years ago, right? His shoulder was shot. All of a sudden, Billy Dickin looks like, you know, a genius. He looks like an all-world player because right. Joe Tiller created the system, right? Okay, so let me talk to you guys a little bit about the emotional background about what's happened at my house today. My wife at multiple times says, I had a soccer game. Sorry for the chiming. You guys know. That's the deal.
Yeah.
When you the chimes come.
It tolls for Joe Tiller.
The chimes exactly toll for Joe Tiller. But multiple times today, my wife would walk into the room and I would be tearing up at least and kind of crying at most. And I would get to the point where I would see Joe Tiller as a symbol as my dad had a quad bypass back in April. Okay. Joe Tiller was 74. My dad is 69 years old. And some of the things that Joe said sounded like my dad. Some of the things sound like my dad.
Yeah. Your dad's how old?
My dad is 69. He graduated from Purdue in 1970. Okay. My dad effectively brainwashed me and my brothers and my sister to become Purdue fans.
Good man. But I mean, but I'm with you with the, and you know that, like my dad will be 72 next week.
Yep.
So we're at that point in life where I think that's also part of this.
It's a big part.
Hits us because
it hits me hard.
Right? Yeah.
And it hits me hard because this guy, okay, so I'm going to go and I'm going to tell you guys why it hits me hard. Okay. It's not just that Joe Tiller won a lot of games. It's that Joe Tiller became the linchpin of my family in that when my wife and I were newlyweds and we moved back to Indiana after being in Massachusetts for a little bit, we planned our weekends. Everything came around Purdue football. We're like, this game is going to be entertaining. Purdue may not win. So we would go to Rosse. We got season tickets to begin with. But then we started going to road games. We went to Illinois. Went to Northwestern. We went up to Michigan. We went to Michigan State. Went to Ohio State. But we planned everything about Purdue football because it mattered to us, right? Because there was a chance. Not only were they going to win, they were going to be exciting. They were going to be fun, right? And that all comes back to Joe Tiller's big plan, right? And so I said to my wife, she would find me in various states of blibbering idiot. Right. And this is before I'd had a drink. I was stone cold sober. And I can tell you, I was just upset because I said it to you in your post, Jay. I said, I want that back.
Yep.
I've got two kids since then. Right. Gene and I have been married for a long time, but I want that feeling back, that optimism that anything can happen. And so we're going to invest our money and our time into this program because we believe not only will Purdue win? They're going to do it the right way, and we're going to see something special.
And it's fun.
It's going to be fun, and it's going to be unexpected.
I mean,
what a great period of time!
I had season tickets. Remember that?
Hell yeah!
I had season tickets living in New Jersey.
Season
tickets because I was like, you know what? I paid to go to a Notre Dame game once, and it was so much money to go to get tickets.
Right.
That I was like, screw it! I could just buy season tickets. Somebody will buy a few of them. And I'll go to one or two, and who cares if I waste a couple?
That's fine. These two morons, okay? Jay, you know Jay, but the other founder, there are three founders of Boiled Sports, Tim.
That's right, Tim, me and Tim.
They bought season tickets so they could be there for one game a year.
Yeah, I mean, like, it, you know, that's what Penn State fans do, right? I mean, like, I live in Pittsburgh. No, but that's what I'm saying. You can't. You want to talk big time mentality? Like, that's what Ohio State fans do. That's what Michigan fans do. That's what Penn State fans do. Yep. That's what Texas fans do. You buy season tickets because you can't get your foot in the door either, anyway, like any other way.
Right. Right.
So it's like that.
Awesome.
That,
and it was worth it.
That status, that feeling, that excitement, that relevance. That's the thing, is that Purdue football was relevant. It meant something. When you said Purdue football, you knew, like a sports fan would know exactly who you were talking about. And you don't really, you didn't have to really be that diehard of a college football fan. You could have just casually followed college football, and you know Purdue is that Golden Black team who might not necessarily know what state Purdue was in, but you knew, they have that quarterback, right? It didn't matter when talking about. Like, oh, they have that quarterback, they pass the ball.
Right.
And so we were saying for how long during the Danny Hope and the Daryl Hazel era that Purdue wins when they have that identity, when they have the Joe, when they are Joe Taylor, like reincarnated. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what we wanted. And we knew that.
That's what we thought we'd get with Marv, right?
That's what we were all hoping. Oh, Marv under Brom. Like, I think that would have been a combination that would have made us proud. See, that's the thing. But they didn't have the system. He didn't have the coach's trust. He didn't.
That was a weird situation.
The magic wasn't there. And maybe that's what it is. Like, maybe that's what Taylor did. It was magic. Like, it was. He did something that wasn't supposed to be done at a school that historically probably shouldn't have had it happen. I mean, so the guys at Crimson Quarry, the IU blog, tweeted out a couple series of tweets that were like, there's not many better examples of program building better than Joe Tiller. And they said, if you want to compare it, look at IU. Look at 1997 and IU. Right. IU went for the safe inside the program Hoosier guy in Cam Cameron, and Purdue went to the Midwest and hired the crotchety old football coach from Wyoming who won 10 games and didn't get a bowl. He had to come to a big time program, and Purdue was that one to take a chance on it, right? One team went through the best, by far one of the two best eras of football that program has ever seen. The other school hired Cam Cameron. And like, it's just like, those are the chance. Like, Joe Tiller was kind of everything happened by chance. Everything kind of happened by happenstance. And it was a little bit of magic. And then Joe Tiller kind of, that fire, that spark, he was there to make it into a bonfire, you know, like he was exactly what Purdue needed at the time. That's one of his quotes, right? Purdue was right. He was right for Purdue.
Yes.
It was right for him. And the silly thing is, even if he wins 10 games this year, 10 games the next year, he's going to leave because he should leave. I mean, like, he should leave.
No, he shouldn't leave.
He shouldn't, but I hear what you're saying. Probably should.
Right, but Joe Tiller saw this as this, Joe Tiller, this was his life. Yeah, go
ahead. This
was his apex. This is where he wanted to be. He didn't want to be anywhere else. And that's a great point. Like he this was his pinnacle, not apex. Pinnacle was being at Purdue and leading Purdue to success.
And despite Morgan Burke, despite his disagreements with Morgan Burke, right?
Right.
I mean, his well-documented, not very well-hidden.
He believed in Purdue.
No. Yeah. Not hidden at all.
Yeah. And so, like, he still stayed. He still he dealt with the BS. He dealt with the lack of he dealt with the
Joe Tiller, I don't think, was a fan of Boiled Sports. I think he knew about Boiled Sports.
That's fine. I'm glad. I'm actually okay with that.
I know.
Every time I would talk to him, I would worry that he would figure out who I was. I'm not kidding.
We started the site in 06, and
yeah,
he left at the end of 08. So we had three football seasons.
Mm-hmm. Not the best football seasons as well.
No, and he sort of knew. He made remarks about the
internet. Every now and again, someone would say would find its way onto the webs, onto the inner tube. And we'd be like, did he just quote us?
But we loved it, that old.
Yeah, we did.
That's okay. I mean, like, he's not supposed to like, you know, he's not supposed to like the people at the back of the class.
Well, it's like our dad.
The problem has, this is before there were networks and a big, you know, like websites that had, you know, tie-ins. Our tie-ins were people that were still on campus that were managers or trainers or still on the team. And we would hear stories, and I would bring them back to Jay and Tim, and I'd say, Coach Tiller fell asleep in a golf cart at practice. And it was true.
Yes.
And it was true because the guy was tired. And I would always make this comment to Jay, because Jay and I, our fathers are similar age, and Joe Tiller is in their age group. They're all baby boomers. And I'd say, you know what? If my dad were coaching at Purdue right now, I could see him falling asleep in the golf cart during practice.
Well, he was born in 1942. So in 2008, right, he was 66.
Nobody begrudges him for slowing down a bit, right?
No.
But we all said it was time towards the end. But what he did, by the way, even when he was slowing down, it was still taking them to a bowl game, which is some of these at their best effort.
Right. Remember how mad
couldn't
we were.
Get it done.
What season was it? 06 or whatever the hell it was. They played 14 weird ass games.
Yeah,
they played a 13 game regular season.
Oh shit!
What was the rule there? Why did they get to go to Hawaii and it didn't count against their total?
Oh, it was bizarre. There were so many weird things happening right then. That was when the NCAA was trying to figure out the brave new world they were in the middle of, right?
13 regular season games, right? Mm-hmm. And and
somehow Curtis Painter took Drew Brees' record. I'm still angry.
I'm doing this from memory, but
not begrudging Drew Brees or not begrudging Curtis Painter, right?
They were at 8 wins. Whatever. With no, I can tell you right now, they were at 8 wins with IU, Hawaii, and the bowl game left. And I remember you and I being like, they're going to win 10 games. And it's this is not a great team. This is not a great team. This is not any stretch of a great team. They lose to IU. They go out to Hawaii, embarrassed at the half, and then come storming back in the second half.
And lose.
And can't freaking pull it off, and they lose, right? Yeah. And they go, and that was the year they played Maryland in that bowl game.
Maryland.
Didn't even show up.
But so why did why
the
was
worst
Hawaii
win team ever? By
why
the way.
Was Hawaii scheduled that year? Just because, like,
as a treat to the players.
Yes.
Oh, so like
literally. This time out.
It was
time
after
out.
IU.
So this is the fun thing. Okay, that we all know. Okay, we're not going to gloss over it because we love the man, and I think I know Arnett Tiller is a big BS fan. We know that. Big handsome hour listener. So I hope she's listening tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, the weird thing is Arnett and I are attached on LinkedIn, which is really, really weird. She sent me the request. I am not kidding. That is not – I swear that's real.
She sent you a
request. It's bizarre. She sent me a freaking request
we
got to
know
– and I.
Okay, before you tell this, we got to know – now, Anish, before we did Hopeful Danny – right, you remember this. We did.
This is, we don't have many documentations that really happened, so I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna
there was a Joe Tiller Twitter feed that we cannot confirm or deny we had anything to do with, but I remember his daughter was not very amused by it.
Of course. Was not happy at all.
Of course. But you're
right. But it was in good.
And she was very direct and pointed.
It was not like the Hope one, though. It was
so much more tame.
We're awesome. Yes,
it was folksy and fun.
It was the beginning. It was the beginning of parody Twitter accounts.
Exactly. It was early parody Twitter accounts. Sorry. Go all the way back to so for some reason. For some reason, they scheduled Hawaii after IU.
But like this December is one of the brilliances of Joe Tiller as a coach, okay, is that he really didn't see the victory as the most important thing. He thought the journey was the thing. And if you talk to players that played for him, they agree with that. They said getting to the Rose Bowl was that thing, right? Getting there was that thing. And you saw Tim Stratton, who was a complete clown, warming up with the fans before the Rose Bowl. Jay and I were both there in the stands. Stratton's throwing the ball just throwing it around, having a great time. Just, you know, the rose was through the pee. They're like, we've arrived.
The rose through the pee. That was one of my favorite things. Ryan and his brother, they come out and they've got the rose interlocked through the pee. And they're like, oh no.
Yeah. Oh, no. We've already lost.
This is not good. Oh shit.
Yep.
Oh man.
So what was his best team? What was Joe Tiller's best team?
I actually think
there's a really clear, like, there's a really clear answer to me.
What's your clear answer?
Yeah, to me, I think the Orton team was like far and away top to bottom. Like,
No. That's the best defense. That's by far the best defense. Yeah. Like,
which is why, I mean, like, all of the offenses were, even with like mediocre talent, were pretty much the same. Like,
that defense produced nine NFL players.
That's insane.
Right. That's crazy. And seven or eight of those were drafted in the first three rounds.
That's incredible.
What the hell? I mean, that was the team where you're like, Purdue was number two behind Ohio State in the NFL draftees. You're like, what universe are we living in?
Right? I mean, and that's the team that still pays dividends when Purdue is
right. When you talk about players in the NFL, you're still talking about that team.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I mean, like that's a good point. To me, it's like that's the team that was like, I mean, like what did they peak at five that year?
Yes, they peaked at fifth, and I can tell you that was one of the best and the worst days of my life. Because, oh man, okay, so let me. Or I'll give you a little story as the bells chime. So game day was on campus. It was a fantastic day. It was freezing cold before. Purdue played, I think, a 3:30 kickoff. It was so much like the energy was just palpable. It was a wonderful, fantastic day as a Purdue fan. And so ESPN had all these rules. They don't tell you about this when you watch game day now. There are all these rules about what you can and can't do to get inside those gates. I think my brother was – he was not on campus. He was a relatively new graduate, but he had created a sign for ESPN. I had created, because I could draw, I can still draw. I drew Herb Street and Fowler and Corso and had quotes, and we were going to carry them all. We weren't allowed to do it because we weren't allowed to put the signs on a stake. But my brother created one, ESPN, Everybody Sucks Purdue's Nuts. And for some reason, that one didn't make it on TV, which I thought, bullshit, that's freaking hilarious. And I can say to this day, every time I see game day, I think of Everyone Sucks Purdue's Nuts, because I was like, Purdue's number five in the nation. We finally arrived.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that was
so that's good. My peak of the Purdue.
Tiller. That's
well, so my brother coming up with that brilliant ESPN. Because all these composers do shit where, you know, it's like the middle of the word. No. You go the first level of the word.
Yes.
Everybody Sucks Purdue's Nuts is brilliant.
That season, just looking back, right, they had Orton. Who, if you remember, Orton was a Heisman, like, leader, frontrunner for the first few games of the year. Right.
He was
like
a story.
So
right?
I've got that. I've got the Purdue reference, the Sports Reference page up in front of me. 04. Is the 25th ranked team in the country, which is ridiculous, right?
Fifth.
They start 25.
One, two, three, four, five, Purdue.
They win 20. No, 25th.
But that was where they started. That's
where they started.
And then they beat the shit out of Arizona and Syracuse, right? Am I right?
They beat Syracuse 51-0. And you know what happens the next week? They're still 25th.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? They win 51-0, and they're still 25th.
Yes.
Okay, yes. So then they beat Ball State 59-7, and they move up to 15th. Okay, all right, fine.
Why did they jump 10 for beating Ball State? Was Ball State that respected? Nope.
Then they win.
Stupid polls. Stupid
this
polls.
This I've
talked about this for 20 years.
This I actually hadn't remembered. They played their next three on the road, right? So they start at with Syracuse and Ball State. They beat the shit out of them. They're 2-0. They're 15th. They go at Illinois. They win. They go at Notre Dame. They destroy them. They go at Penn State and they beat them by a touchdown.
My brother-in-law was still a Purdue student. He went there. Charles Davis just ripped them up, if I remember correctly, right? He was a great tight end, also a future Purdue Boilermaker basketball player.
And so to me, that stretch right there is why that's the best Purdue team.
Exactly. In the Illinois, well, because, and this is when Illinois was good, was decent. Well, at Illinois, Notre Dame, at Penn State, now they're fifth.
Drew Brees could not beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and right. Drew Brees never beat Penn State.
No, nope. Right?
Nope. I'm just saying, and this Drew team
Brees first in goal from the four versus Penn State, and was his name Courtney?
I know what you mean. I just can't remember.
He was Drew Brees' nemesis. Drew Brees had two nemeses during his time at Purdue. One was an Ohio State linebacker. One was a Penn State linebacker.
Oh.
And they both kind of stole his lunch money. One of them, Brees, got it back. But the other one, he never got it back.
But here's the deal. Okay, so that we know how that 04 season wound up. Mm-hmm. But since you're bringing that up, and since you're bringing up his nemesises, and I want to pivot to...
Do we say that?
I want to pivot to... By the way. I want to pivot to how magical the 2000 season was. Because in the Purdue Athletics video they put out, which was amazing.
That is amazing.
I want to tell you,
seriously, we rip up Purdue Athletics. They nailed
it. No, but their media group or whatever you want to call it. Yep. They're guys who are doing all videos set. And things like that. They're doing a great job. And
yep, they are.
And yeah. And that, although the only criticism I'd have of the one they put up today was when they said that 2000 season had things like beating Michigan with a Travis Dorsch last minute field goal. Okay. But that Michigan game, they were down 28-10. Now, Anish.
Yep.
Because you were a young lad. They were down. Purdue was down, I think, 21-10 at the half. 28-10 in the third quarter. 28-10.
Tom Brady was on the bench of that
good Michigan team. And they won.
Think about that. Wait, touch out. Let's take a sidebar. Tom Brady was on the bench of that Michigan team. That tells you how deep the talent was.
Exactly.
It wasn't a shitty Michigan team.
So they won 32-31. They were
top 10, right? Like they were like
yes
or something like that. Yep.
Yes. So that's how good. Like, I know Dorsch won it on a field goal, and that was when Dorsch was like sort of like on the fence with Purdue fans.
Mm-hmm.
And
sort of on the fence is not correct. He
was off the fence.
Purdue win that game.
Humpty Dumpty falling off of the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so they win 32-31 after being down 28-10, right? Mm-hmm. Which you talk about a season that you're looking at it and you're like, what the F is happening here? This is right. Then Ohio State comes to town. And I mentioned earlier that the Joe Tiller 41-16 destruction of probably my top favorite memory. This is the only thing that challenges it was mm-hmm. beating Ohio State under the lights in 2004. In 2000,
can I tell you guys a sidebar of this story?
Gary Danielson was crying. Oh, on the air.
He was crying. He cried on the air. Cried on
the air. Do you know
that? No, I don't.
No, and you listen Gary to Danielson. It. Hold on, Anish. He cried. He says that now, is the Gary most Danielson clutch throw.
Yes.
Right? You hear, that you hear is the most clutch crack. Throw I have ever seen.
After the throw to Morales.
Yeah.
So the clips you
pronounce
see.
It correctly. It's Morales.
So the clips you see end with Musburger saying, Holy Toledo, Holy Seth Morales. If you find a clip that goes beyond that and shows like the replay, you hear Danielson saying exactly what Ryan said.
I've got the clip.
He's like, that was one of the most clutch throws I've ever seen.
And he's clearly so broken up.
But people don't remember. People don't remember. Purdue played that game very well and were leading.
And Breeze tries to give it away.
Breeze throws a pick six with like.
To one of his nemeses.
Was it Doss?
No. He throws. He gets Mike hit Doss. By a guy named Joe something to Mike Doss, who was later Indianapolis Colt. But he gets hit by Joe Smith? Joe Frick. He was either a defensive end or an outside linebacker from Ohio State. He had talked shit the entire week to Drew Brees, and yes. Drew Brees had taken the high road. Drew Brees got rocked by him. Drew Brees got up, went back, hit Doss, knocked him out of bounds. Ohio State scored two plays later. Brees came in. First play incompletion. Second play, second on 10.
So
check down, check down, check down, check down. Find Seth Morales.
We talked about earlier about how you have that video, that letter framed in your office or in your house.
Yep.
You wrote to Tiller. One of the other things you have And this is still, again, I see.
I've just tickets from that year, right?
I already talked about my favorite moments in the Tiller era. So the Morales play, what I love, there's a photo Ryan has, and I don't know if this was in the paper.
Yep, Indianapolis Star.
But Denise, you've seen the Morales play, right? Morales is wide freaking open, right?
No, but he's
and if you've ever seen the so Breeze explained that play in a YouTube clip that has been since taken down. I posted it years ago. And he explained it. He said he's the third or fourth, maybe fourth option.
Fourth or
so I'm supposed to look option. Down. I'm supposed to look for the guy in the flat. Then I'm supposed to look down the left side. Then I'm looking for the guy across the middle. Then I'm supposed to look to the guy streaking down the right side. And he said, and we practiced
NFL
every week.
Player bit.
And he said, we practiced every week and we never threw it to that guy.
Right.
Ever.
The Butler.
He goes, and, I look, and he says, when I release it, I'm thinking, oh gosh. Oh goodness, don't throw over. Right. So he releases it.
And then Morales says, catch the ball.
Morales almost drops it. He almost drops it.
And then he almost trips.
And one of my favorite parts, Anish, if you ever get to Ryan's house again, there's a photo of this. Doss, Mike Doss, who's an NFL safety.
He's looking to his right.
He's looking over his shoulder like what? This guy. That's my favorite part. It's like, oh, no, Mike, great. You're the safety. You're the safety.
Safety means the last line of defense against that play.
In fact, it's even in the name of your position.
Safety. Now, let me give you guys a sidebar of this. Another personal thing, okay, that the reasons I love Joe Tiller. Okay. So at that point, okay, so each year my brother and I would increase our block of season tickets with Purdue. I had moved back to Purdue I moved back to Indiana the year before. We had two season tickets, my older brother and I. Then that year we had three, and the third ticket was a revolving ticket. It was either my dad, my wife, or his fiance. In that game, my dad, class of 70, was in the seat with us, okay? When Bree steps back and he scans and he lets loose the ball, I literally fall down. Okay. And I'm 5'4". So I can't see over a crowd anyway. I step down and I put my head in my hands and I listen. And I can hear the crowd erupt. I never saw Morales catch the ball in person. I look up at my dad, who's above me at that point, and my dad says, Oh my gosh. He's high-fiving my brother. And we had this great group of people because we're in our second year of season tickets at that point.
Well, you knew everybody in this group. Section.
Knew everybody because they knew because I talk a lot and I yell a lot. And you're I loud. Literally grabbed the legs of an old Purdue alum. He graduated in 1969. He was just older than my dad. And I grab his legs and hug him. And everybody in our group just starts hugging each other. Right? So this game was such a unifier, right? Everybody loves each other. At that moment, we're like, I can't believe I was here to see
and
that.
Still, and runs away. They still have to they still got to beat IU. They don't have it clinched yet.
Well, they had Ohio State. Then they had Michigan State, what I referenced earlier.
They lost.
They got their ass kicked. I actually played pickup football that day. They played in East Lansing in snow. Purdue got their just cans kicked around the field. I don't know what the final score. I'm guessing a bazillion to one.
I don't know, but it was – I'll look. But I think it was like 38 to 10 or something like
30,
that.
30
it was horrible. 10. It was 30 yeah, to 10. It was never close. Right. And then Purdue came back to IU, and we all thought, it's a formality.
Oh, with IU. Under the light.
We're going to beat the living
under the light
and
run.
And that under IU the lights team, that IU team was pretty good. I remember that game. That IU team
were
was
bad.
Pretty good.
And Purdue fans were like, whatever. I mean, that's the thing. We stormed the field three times that year. Three times. My little brother was a junior or whatever. I don't know. He was on Purdue's campus. My sister-in-law had already graduated. Okay. So one game, the Michigan game, we all rushed down. We tried to find each other at the end. And I was just sprinting around the field. I literally didn't care who was there. I was just running up and down. Didn't care. Hugged different football players. Don't remember who they were. Just loved being there. And looked up at the crowd at the euphoria of what was happening, right? It was a little chilly that night. Ohio State, it was chillier, okay? But that night, I found a couple members of my family. Same thing. I hugged is it Ian Allen, I think, who gave Breeze the little pep talk. I didn't know I hugged him until later because I looked at the number. I was like, wow, that's a big dude. And I found Brandon Gorin because I just knew the number, 77. Then the IU game, it was completely different. It was freezing cold that day. Like, I was wearing shorts because I'm stupid. I was wearing shorts and a long sleeve t-shirt and a windbreaker and a stocking cap. And I was so cold that whole day. Everyone was on the field after that day. And here's the deal. This is the thing I keep saying. Everything comes back to Joe Tiller rebuilding that thing. Those memories that I have with my dad, right? The yes. class of 70 come back to Joe Tiller. Me meeting up with Jay in Los Angeles before the Rose Bowl at a fear. Jay was in a wheelchair. Am I wrong about that?
No, that was the year I broke my leg in Rockefeller Center, but still got out in LA.
Wheelchair. I met him on a sailboat in San Pedro Bay. This is not false like at song. All. This is all true.
Anish, I broke my leg skating at Rockefeller Center on December 20th.
He was in a cast from his hip down to his ankle. Oh, he made the trip.
I was there. Oh, I wasn't going to miss the Rose Bowl. Are you kidding me?
But it's all because Joe Tiller did it. It's all because Joe Tiller's vision. It's all because Purdue had the, you know, fortune. And I would love to say that Morgan Burke was a puppet master and he pulled the right strings. He wanted Bob Davey and it didn't work out for him. And thank God we got Joe Tiller because Jay and I got to have a magical New Year's Eve on a sailboat in San Pedro Bay as we got ready for the freaking Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing is that the structure of Purdue, and at that point is Burke, has to get credit, even though he wanted Davey. He's still
hired. I mean, he, well, right. So imagine his legacy if he doesn't hire Joe Tiller and Matt Painter.
I mean, of course. Yeah.
And you can easily say about both those guys, he lucked out.
He did.
He lucked out with Tiller. One season of Division I basketball coaching, right? So, I mean, you know, he man.
But that's what it comes back to Dowd's point is that there was a time when being a Purdue football fan meant actually making memories. Like that's the whole point of sports, right? Is to make memories with people that you care about, who care about the same idiots wearing the same jersey, right? God. Like the same colors. That's the whole point of this. Yeah. It's to make friends randomly with people that you would never talk to in your entire life because you have that one thing in common. And it's, in this case, it's Purdue football. Right. It's meeting somebody randomly in a bar. So this is what I did. I was in Boston and it was
it's better when you're at distance, right? Because you can relate. Both of you guys can relate at this.
I moved to Boston and I didn't really know at the time, like I had one friend that was moving out later, but I didn't know anybody. And I just kind of Googled sports bar, you know, and I like walked to the right, which later has become my favorite bar in the entire world. I love that place so much. But I just Googled it and I walked over there and in Somerville, shout out to Parler. And they're not the biggest college football fans. It's college sports fans in Boston.
Oh, no.
But I met somebody there.
The Pats are wicked pissed though.
Yeah, that's right. I met somebody there who's a Michigan State alum who's from Southwestern Michigan. And the first day that I would like, I think it was like the third day I was in Boston, the first day I really went out, we talked about Joe Tiller football the entire night. And it really became like, okay, I think this Boston thing's going to work out. That bar became my favorite bar in Boston to go watch the Pacers, to go watch Purdue. That's where I watched the Glenn Robinson buzzer beater in basketball, like the Michigan one, the Michigan game. Like that was the time that I was in Boston. And I would default there and they knew me as the Purdue guy because the bartenders overheard the conversation and joined in. And like I was the designated Purdue guy. And to this day, they still email me every time Purdue does something. So it's like that's how you make like connections, right? with people who are fellow sports fans, you make connections over memories of teams like this, and like talking about stories, like not seeing the past, not seeing the Holy Toledo pass, and then hugging the knees of some, 50-year-old woman in front of you. It's like, that's what, you know, we want that again. We've always wanted that again as Purdue football fans. And that's why we're so happy with the Brohm hires, because we think we've got the same guy, but it's not quite going to be the same. We know
Ryan, he made a point on his video this morning that, you know, he said it was surreal. Purdue was a national story. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel the same way. Like, I remember Purdue was like the story, and game day came, and we went out to Pasadena, and it was like, I can't believe this is actually happening.
And now to your point, Jay, your entire existence as a Purdue sports fan is summed up with quit having low expectations, right? Expect excellence, aim for excellence, quit having low expectations. Can you imagine talking about a Rose Bowl without Joe Tiller? Like, as a Purdue fan, that's not a reality. Right. In 2017, we don't have the goal of winning the Big Ten West, like a really mediocre division, really. But we don't even have that goal because without Joe Tiller doing it first. He set the bar.
He showed it was possible.
Yeah.
He showed it was possible.
He set the bar at Purdue. And so now that's the bar you have to clear. That's the bar of excellence you have to clear.
He showed that all you need is the guy who's going to be the most prolific quarterback in NFL history. That's all you need.
Or a guy that gets routinely hella drunk at Iowa City bars. That's all I'm saying. You could have that guy too.
Well, I mean,
He did it with Kyle Orton. It's not like Kyle.
So he did it with Billy Dickin. He did it with Billy Dickin.
We played a bunch of.
He did it with Brandon Hantz. Purdue was 5-0 with Brandon Hantz.
Yes,
Brandon Hantz, who went on to be a USC backup. That's it. You never saw him on the field. USC was up by 50.
Blue blood backups or even starters. Brandon Hantz at USC, Austin Appleby at Florida.
But to me, it's just like that. We can kind of end on that. Is that Tiller set the bar. He didn't raise the bar, because the bar, I mean, like,
there was
the
bar, no bar.
We were talking about the no bar era, right? There was no bar. Joe Tiller is now like you have to do this.
Measure against.
He's the expectation at Purdue. If you're not Joe Tiller, you get 4 years and you're out.
Oh, I mean, we talked about how we're saying that about Brohm. We're comparing everything to 97. And the excitement is, it's not because we're comparing him saying, oh, because nobody's saying live up to Joe Tiller. People are saying, hey, this is the most excited I've felt about Purdue football since Joe Tiller. Since Joe, like that. That's why it's awesome. See, that's the other thing. That's why the Brohm era is fun so far, is because we're remembering a time when, the only other time this was ever five times. We're being reminded of that. And, oh man.
Well, I asked the question earlier today. I said, I swear, LBD, little boiler down. I said, I swear you have met Joe Tiller. And he said, I don't remember that. He's 11. He's a smart 11-year-old. You guys both met him.
By the way, you need to put that picture more prominently in your video today. You just used it as the thumbnail.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's a great picture.
That's a great picture. Melissa said that. My wife said that. She said, why wasn't this in the video? Why was this just a... I was like, I don't know.
Just wanted to do one. And I had like 15 pictures I had screen capped or saved, whatever. By the way, you go back and when you look at Joe Tiller, you'll find lots of boiled sports archive. It's pretty cool, pretty interesting. You know, shows, you know, that we are the true godfather of Purdue.
That's right.
Sorry.
Been around a long
time. Twisting the knife. But we've been around a while. But the interesting thing is, I said, you met Joe Tiller, right? And he says, I don't remember that at all. And so I go through my Apple computer, you know, it'll recognize faces if you... And I went back as far as I could with LBD, and I said, he's met all these Purdue athletes, all these different, you know, professional athletes. And I found the picture of Tiller LBD and I at the spring game, the last spring game that Tiller was there.
I was going to say that must have been 08.
It was it.
Yeah.
The funny thing is you look at the picture and, you know, a little guy, he has no idea what's going on. No. This is the fun thing. You take your step back, you know, the Colts were flying. They were an amazing team. They won a world championship just before that, right? And you have Joe Tiller who's on his last leg and Curtis Painter. We have a picture of Curtis Painter and he's actually holding my son, which is funny. And you're like, and Tiller, who was enthusiastic, but the same guy disinterested in anything that was happening with the fans. He was like, hey, gotta get out of here, ready to go. Different guy than I saw my senior year. Right. And so the interesting thing is like, you're like, okay, this is cool. You know, the funny thing is my son does not remember the golden era of Purdue football.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't remember it at all, right? And I don't remember before Tiller, you know, much of Purdue being a mother and being a story. And so what's next? Does Brom take them to the point where my son remembers Purdue as a story? I think we're starting to scratch the surface a little bit, right?
Right.
We're starting to get there. But can Purdue get over the hump? Can they honor Joe Tiller's memory? I mean, Jay brought this up earlier on Twitter. I cannot wait until this Minnesota game.
Yep. I want it. We talked about this preseason. I want it.
We want it for a lot of reasons, but now you want it more because this was
Tiller. It's going to be a charged game. The
old ball coach, Joe Tiller, circled this on his calendar at one point and said, I'm going to come back to my home.
He was going to come back for this, Anish. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
His plan was to be back for this.
Keep going, Jack.
A bunch of his 97 team was going to be back. They were going to honor the 20 years since Purdue football, which I love that they were going to honor the 97 team, which was not a Rose Bowl team. They were going to honor the team. You know why? Because they changed.
It was the beginning.
Yeah. But you and I know that. The three of us know that. But for Purdue to acknowledge 97 meant something is big.
Yeah.
Significant. And seriously, hope I think they're all still going to come back, but holy crap, is it going to be a charged atmosphere?
Oh, that's a great atmosphere.
And you hope. I actually haven't heard because I've been traveling all day. I don't know if Brom has said anything about this or if he's had media availability.
He had a quote about it.
Yeah. So check our feed.
I hope that he really invests in that and like he recognizes because he seems really similar in personality. Mm-hmm. This aspect of his personality is similar to Joe Tiller, is that he doesn't care about what he doesn't care about. You know what I mean? Like he super doesn't care about what he's not interested in. And I really hope that, you know, a quote can be manufactured here and there. I really hope that like he invests and sees like the parallels that at least us as fans see him as.
And this is where, you know, like if you're, I think Anish and Jay, the three of us share one commonality in that we like history, right? Yeah. And so when you like history, you're trying to get all these parts to line up so you can say, is history repeating itself? Let's be real honest. History never really truly repeats itself, but parts sometimes align where you're like, wow, that's pretty damn cool we're seeing happening.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So maybe we're seeing a little bit of that. But what one thing I can say is that I want – okay, so let me go back a half step. There's a kid that was in my youth group at church who chose to go and study engineering at Purdue because he's a really smart guy. He's from Fishers. He had a great grade point average. He went to Purdue, and he saw the worst freaking Purdue basketball and football. For basketball was horrible for 2 years. Football was bad for four. And we would go and we'd meet on campus. I had these excellent tickets, thanks to our pal Ed. Ed would give me tickets in the gold seats and we'd sit there and we'd watch Purdue get their ass kicked. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'd say it to the kid. He grew up an Illinois fan. I said, I'm so sorry because I feel somewhat responsible for leading you down this horrible road. But I want this kid. This young guy, he's 26 years old now. I want him to see a great Purdue team. And I want my son to see a great Purdue team. And I want Sam and Jack to see great Purdue teams. I want our kids to remember it, not just conjecture and stories from their dads that Purdue was once really good, but I want them to have their own memory that Purdue can be good again, right? And that it's like, okay, this isn't, you know, Disneyland. This is something that really happened. Right on, bro. I want it to happen for a lot of reasons because I'm a dreamer and I'm a jackass and I'm a lot of things, but damn it. You know, like I can remember the feeling, right? I can remember the feeling.
If you happen to be watching us on the stream, thank you and God bless you. And I don't know what's wrong with you that you're still watching us.
We're like 15 hours into this podcast.
But I'm wearing a shirt. We should have mentioned this at the outset. I am wearing a shirt from Martin Vintage. And martinvintage.com is where you can go to get these awesome and they're either Purdue football or Purdue basketball. Cool.
They're very soft.
They're very soft. I will say I got mine. I'm wearing mine today. And you know what I like about them? They're current in the fit of, like, for example, I wear a large, but I'm a little bit broad shoulder for a large, but if I wear an XL, nice, I'm a little bit too, shoulder. I'm a little too, XL is a little too flowy on me, right? So I'm running those guys right in between, right? But when I wear a large,
it's medium.
I'm a medium, right? I'm an extra medium. When I wear a large, it fits my torso and shoulders and guns nicely, but it's still long enough that it's not popping up and showing my fat belly.
So good.
Right. You know what I'm
saying? So good. I love it.
You don't want your belly to hang out, right? You want them to make you look more ripped on the bicep.
Is there a way if I wanted one of these shirts but wanted some kind of a deal?
Right. Like if you were saying, look, I
well, you can't find a deal, Anish. There's no deal. There's a deal.
You could. Because if you enter boiled, is it boiled?
It's boiled.
Boiled. It's boiled. At checkout, you'll get 10% off? 20% off?
20%.
20% off. 20%. I should have read my copy before this, or I should have drank
a little more. 20 whole percent. That's a lot of percents.
That's a lot of percent.
And you know what's really easy? Just go to the side of the Wireless Parts, and you'll see a link to Martin Vintage, and you'll be able to go on there and if you enter boiled at checkout, you'll get 20% off. I'm not exaggerating just because, and by the way, let me be clear, we're not getting a kickback on this. You're getting a discount.
Seriously, we're not, but
we're not. We're not. You're getting a discount.
Nobody has changed this. All that we've got is
true. Here's what the deal, guys. I want to see if putting a link on our site gets them any sort of additional sales. So
that's really
good. We're counting on you.
Buy shirts from them for, come on, Christmas is coming. It's October. By the time it's posted, it's October.
You're a Purdue grad. If you're listening, you're a Purdue grad.
Oh, right.
You're a degenerate. Yeah.
You're comfortable. They fit you in a way that if you're a typical 40 something American male, right? Like it's going to fit you exactly the way you want.
What if you're 22, 27?
Still, it's still beautiful. And
that's what I need.
The lady friend loves it. She loves it, man.
That's all you wear are these shirts. She loves the shirt.
The lady loves it. That's what I'm saying. MartinVintage.com.
MartinVintage.com.
Boiled.
Literally, we are the worst negotiators in the world because the initial sponsorship was $0, zero goods.
Give us a couple shirts was our deal. Give us a couple shirts and we'll talk about you on every podcast.
That's
because
right.
And I love it. They were like, oh, all right, we'll do that. Yeah.
Of course you'll do that. Yeah.
We're getting,
listen, back positivity. We're going to end this on a positive note.
They're great.
Today was an emotional.
I love them, damn t-shirts.
Today was an emotional day, with Joe and you all should. I'm sure we plugged it many times. We really should spend 5 minutes watch Boiler Dowd's reaction to it. We have it. On the site. Well, I think we'll have it on the side of blogs of the blog for a while.
It's on the site. I'm not gonna lie. Like his, let alone the Boiled Sports, or sorry, the BTN or Purdue specific ones, but Boiler Dowd's reflections, it got me. I was watching it, and I said to my wife, "You gotta watch this. You don't follow Purdue the way I do, but you gotta watch this." It was,
it was so tastefully done and so well done that if you haven't watched it, you need to go listen. But surely you have if you're listening to this podcast.
Exactly. If they're listening, it's one of our five or six listeners, and it's probably our moms.
True.
I mean,
exactly.
Right. That's three right there. That's three of our moms.
My mom's a Purdue grad and loves Purdue, and is the reason that I'm a Purdue grad and fan. There's no chance she watches this.
She loves Mike. Wasn't she the one who loves Michael, or is it Michael's mom who loves you?
Michael's mom loves me.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyway,
you're hard not to love.
But does she still love you, even though Michael didn't come to your wedding?
I know.
I want to put that out publicly. In fact, as often as I can, I want to make a point that
I keep remembering that
we came.
Good memory.
We were there.
You were.
Well, here's the thing. I will say in closing, guys, that in all seriousness, I can tell you that I appreciate the fact that Morgan Burke hired Joe Tiller. I appreciate the fact that Arnett Tiller was all in with her husband.
Oh, yeah.
The investment they made on Purdue University is longstanding, and people like us remember. We're not gonna let that memory die. But the bigger thing is that new memories are being created all the time, because I think that actually there is upside. For once in a long time, there is upside. And Cowboy Joe, God bless you. Arnett Tiller, God bless you. And the people that made that happen and made those things happen, the players, the families, the trainers, the administration, all the people, Foxy LaFon, who I've gotten to meet, and her son, who I sat next to during a freaking Purdue football game. Thank you guys for making the memory that we got to witness. And we appreciate it. We appreciate it. And Joe Tiller's memory won't be forgotten. I can't wait till the Minnesota game. I cannot wait till the kickoff. I cannot wait till that electric atmosphere.
I'm jealous that you're going, and I'm not.
Well, I can tell you that I am excited right now. We're a week from that kickoff. I cannot wait.
2 weeks after that, I will be at the Purdue at Rutgers game.
And they're going to freaking get that win, and we're going to see them rolling towards a bowl.
They better. They better.
That's right.
Big things happening. Big things happening.
That's right.
Thank you for tuning in to the extra long dance mix of the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.